Well, it's just been a busy week, just working and taking care of life and situations and people and circumstances. It's been good.
How's your beautiful wife?
She's doing very well.
Good.
She's having a good week. And we've been helping to take care of a friend that's been sick, so she's been busy with that. And so that's kept her busy.
It's always good to stay busy. I'll be covered up and running around like a nut, like always.
Oh, I know. I'm telling you, life is crazy sometimes, isn't it? It's just crazy busy. It's hard sometimes to stay focused on what we need to because there's so much to do that we have to do that kind of demands our attention, you know?
We live in a very, very demanding world.
We do.
Today I've just been all over the place. Yesterday I was all over the place, and I feel like I'm all over the place all the time. I do enjoy it, though. I do enjoy my job. I love working on what's happening in Coleman and, you know, going around and meeting all these business owners, and I really do enjoy it. I meet some interesting people.
I'm sure you do. And, you know, it's that's the way life is. And of course, we want to be busy productively and engaged and involved and all those things. So none of those things are bad, per se. It's just that sometimes there's too many at one time. So, you know, there's times I have to just take a deep breath and slow down. And mostly it's more internal for me than external. You know, I've got to get my mind refocused on what I need to be focused on.
I know that feeling.
So, you know, it's like we get carried away with so many things. And, you know, and I experience that in some way, like when I'm doing social media at times. You know, you can scroll through social media and have a bunch of different emotions in a few seconds, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, and sometimes I catch myself doing that, and it's like, that I don't know that that's good. It's not healthy for me. I mean, you know, here I hit sad, and then I hit happy, and then horrific, and, you know, and it's like, I don't know. I don't think we're really built to channel all that many emotions in that short of time. So there's just times I need to, for my own sake, I need to slow down and take some time, quiet time or whatever. And if it's just for a moment at work or whatever, you know, sometimes I have to do that. And once I do that, it settles me inside. And because I tend to have inappropriate emotional responses.
Well, you're human.
When I'm overloaded, you know. Or
you're human, just like the rest of
not
us.
Not focused. And so when I do that, and of course, we all do that. But when I do that, I regret that so much because, you know, you may have responded or reacted to somebody in a way that you regret. And then it's like, man, why did I do that? Well, probably because I had too much going on. I should have slowed down for a moment.
And thought it through before you reacted.
Yes.
Will you start us out in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Father God, we are so, so very thankful to you that you love us and that you have worked a plan and a purpose that is eternal, that calls us to be your children, and that you've included us in your family and in your work in the earth, and you've equipped us, you've prepared us, you've gave us gifts and abilities and talents that we can use to bring you glory and to further your kingdom in this earth. And we're so excited to be part of all that you're doing. We ask you to continue to guide us and direct us and teach us to trust in your provision, that it is always sufficient. In Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So I want to tell everybody this is Bobby Hill, and he is the pastor of New Life Church. I don't know the address.
Yes, that's 1200 Wealthy Road.
I know, Daryl's memorized it.
we're like the second address on Wealthy Road. When we say Wealthy Road, everybody thinks out towards Wealthy, but no, we're in the city limits right there in the curve at the end of 11th Street Southeast is where we are. So we're right there in the curve.
We gonna talk to little Jesus tonight?
We can. We can always talk about Jesus. Yes.
But what you said a while ago about focus. A couple of my posts I've made this week has been about focus because God reminded me to line myself up and refocus.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, we get so much going on in our life. My thing is I get so many projects going on.
Yeah.
And, lining things up. I'm that type of person. I got to have all my ducks in a row, mm-hmm. you know, and I got to do the checkbox thing.
Yes.
And the Lord reminded me this week when I went on a run, he's like, stop, Danielle, and focus on mm-hmm. what you're doing. Stay focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
on fulfilling your purpose.
And that's an internal discipline, I believe. So it's something, when I say discipline, it's something we have to work at.
Mm-hmm.
So having control over that, you know, sometimes it's really tough when you focus. Well, you know, it's easy to say, well, just focus. Well, what does that mean, just focus? And to do that, you know, we have to draw our attention to the things that's important. I think that's what that comes back to. Isn't that kind of what that does for you? It mm-hmm. causes you to realign with, okay, what's most important? Because obviously we're engaged in or involved in things that are not as important as others.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
And it's not that they're not important. I think that's where we have trouble sometimes is, you know, it's like we should not be involved in those because they're not good. Well, that's not the case. It's not that they're not good. It's just that they're not most important.
Mm-hmm.
And so
and prioritizing.
Yeah, we have to decide that. Mm-hmm. So I remember years ago, an older pastor friend, was giving me some advice, and he said, you know, there are a lot of things that are good, but everything's not God.
That's very true.
And so I think that's where we have to see that most of us are geared to where we want to do good things,
mm-hmm.
and we like to be involved in good things. But when we've committed our lives to Christ and to be directed and guided, led by the Spirit, then there's sometimes we have to decide what we are or are not going to do. And sometimes those good things are just not things we ought to be doing.
That's true.
Because they're not things that God has inspired us to do or assigned us to do at this point in time. So it doesn't mean that somebody else shouldn't be doing them. Somebody else should.
Mm-hmm.
Just not me.
Right.
So.
And sometimes we nominate ourselves to do them things because we think mm-hmm. in our mind that that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes we have to get out of the way of ourselves to realize that that job may not be for us.
Absolutely. And I've struggled with that in my own life and hopefully have came through some of that, but I still deal with it, obviously. But what I've found about myself at times is many of those things that I have engaged in at times that I've realized later was not a God thing for me, it seemed to be things that I did for my own sake. For my own self-worth or my own feelings about myself or my ego or, you know, and not necessarily knowing it at the time and having that motivation to do it, but yet realizing in retrospect that there's a lot of things that I do that, just benefit me. Mm-hmm. And they're good things. Other people might look at them and say, oh, wow, that was a good thing. Well, mm-hmm. it was kind of selfish.
Right.
Because of what I got out of it.
Right.
Was my true motivation that probably we don't really want to admit. You understand? So anyway, I've had to learn to turn loose of things that I would normally do just because, you know, it's the right thing to do. It's not for me to be involved in.
Well, and we have to be careful about that pride of life thing, you know, mm-hmm. because I know myself, I'm very prideful. You know, I've been a single mom for a long time and raised my mm-hmm. kids on my own, and I'm not one to, if I really needed help, I would ask for help. But if I can, like, get around it, I will do anything and everything
yes.
that I don't have to.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes that's not the best answer for me.
And I think that is pride that you're thinking about. I mean, obviously, it is a good character trait, you know, not to be too dependent on others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a good thing. But many times our strengths and weaknesses kind of are the same in the same category, and a strength can become a weakness. And so, yeah, I've been in a similar situation as you that you know, at times that those things I don't want to admit that I need help. I just don't want to admit it. I want to be able to prove that I don't need help. I'm self-sufficient.
Well, Big D and I have been doing the little food pantry.
Oh, yeah.
We done it last month.
I didn't realize that.
And I dropped by and done it today. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to pat on the back, or I'm not saying this to boast by no means. I'm just saying, Like yesterday, I went through there and I stopped and I opened the box and there was nothing there. And I cried. And so I done a post on what's happening in Coleman for people to, you know, bring some groceries and put in a little pantry and bless someone, please, because that's what it's about. The very first time I went, there was these two young ladies that were getting out of their vehicles. One had two children and one had three children, and they were helping get the groceries out of the vehicle to put in the food box. And I just sat and watched. And then I saw this young lady get out of her car with her, you know, child and go get stuff out of the food box. Not that I was being nosy. I was just being observant. And so, you know, today I took stuff by there, and I took strange things. Like I took potatoes and I took tomatoes and I took some canned stuff too. I took hot chocolate and popcorn and candy and stuff like that. Because them are the things that a parent, a single mom, I will just use that as an example, that their child's going to get excited about. Of course, you need the basic nutrition, you know, but I just want to put a little extra in there, you know, something that was just outside the box a little. So I encourage everyone to go by and put some food in the food pantry, because I think it's good. I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, it's a, you know, there's generosity involved in that. Generosity, being generous. And so, you know, thinking about that, and the, what we're talking about with sufficiency, you know, when we can come to really see and believe and live out of Jesus Christ is our sufficiency, that he really is, then it's easier to be generous and to help others for the right reasons. It's much easier. Otherwise, I still have sometimes improper motives for doing the things I do, because there again, it makes me feel good or look good or whatever. So what we want to do is we want to love others the way that Jesus loves us. And so, you know, giving people things like you're talking about and blessing people in a way that's unknown to others, that is a wonderful gesture.
Well, and I don't want people to think because I put it on the page or I put it on my personal Facebook that this is about me, that I need you to say, okay, well, that's a great thing that she does, or that's a great thing that Big D does. Let me tell you something. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him, because we are his vessels and we are used in that manner. And I was over at Busy Bee for lunch, and one, a gentleman was sitting next to me, and he was talking about the food pantry. And I said, you know, I know. I was a single mom. I know what it was like to need groceries. And that's a pride thing, you know, and it's there for a purpose. It's there to help someone. So today on my post that I put was, you know, do it to help someone. This isn't about you.
Exactly.
It's never about you.
That's right.
And I think if people could put themselves aside for a second and, you know, not take so much and give a little bit more.
Yeah. So, you know, I was thinking on generosity just recently, and, you know, God is the example of that. I mean, he is a very generous God, very generous. I mean, much more so than I think we really realize. He is generous.
Absolutely.
In all that he's done and all that he's given to us, it's incredible to think about his generosity towards us. And so many times in our own lives, as we, you know, are helping or wanting to help others, you know, we use wisdom sometimes in ways that, you know, may or may not be appropriate. I do realize that we need to be accountable. We need to be good stewards. We need to do those things. But, you know, God helped those who couldn't help themselves. And that's the kind of generosity that he has. And sometimes it's hard for us to learn how to be generous like God, with no conditions or no strings or no expectations, you know. And yet that is the way that he wants us to learn, to grow and to do and to be. To be as he is. And so he teaches us that. He enables us with his spirit to have the strength, the power, and the wisdom to do those things, to help people in ways that not only, you know, is an example of him, but it also brings him glory, because we do that, you know, in a way that recognizes him and honors him. So, and the people benefit. they need to receive that gift that you're talking about.
Well, it reminds me of what you come in here and do every week and spread the gospel. It's a generosity thing. Because you're very generous about it. I know when I first started directing the show, because this is not my normal seat. It's one of the things that I noticed about on the Facebook live feed especially was how much people needed prayer, how much people wanted to hear the gospel. Mm-hmm. And you know as well as I do, because you've heard my testimony, that is my foundation for why I'm here at the Big D Show, because God put me here, and I know that. And I'm nothing great. I'm just a vessel. But this is a great show, in my opinion, but this is the best part. The leading the show out with prayer and ending the show in prayer, to me, means everything.
And good news. Everybody really likes good news, you know?
Don't they?
I mean, the world's full of bad news, or, you know, even real news. Of course, now, isn't it interesting, we got the fake news. That's such a big word. But you know, even real news can be negative and pessimistic and those kind of things. Even though it's true, it can still be, it can be depressing in many ways. And so I think in general, most of us like to hear good news. We enjoy good news. And that's what the gospel is. I mean, that's all it is. It's nothing but good news. And so sharing it is, to me, it's a privilege. It's a pleasure to be able to share things that are good and positive and beneficial.
Well, and our blessings.
Yeah.
Counting our blessings. You know, I think it's so important for us to be grateful that we get to get up every day. You know, God, it's a privilege to live this life. It's a privilege to be a child of God. It is we're privileged.
Absolutely. Very much so. Very much so. I mean, there is no life without God. Without Him, there really isn't. And the fact that we have the opportunity to have life in Him is, it's a privilege, it's incredible for us. And we take things so granted, for granted so often, because we don't think about, you know, what the impact is of what He's given us, and how that we actually, I believe, many times we don't really live out of all that He has provided for us. I think we're still learning and growing in that, to be able to do that. I think there's much more available for that. And, you know, one thing just going on in my heart recently about what He's given us and how privileged we are is the community that He has created in the church. That, I mean, isn't it great that regardless of our own family brokenness or whatever the circumstances may be, that God has worked it so that we have a genuine family to relate to? And that for many of us, that our family with fellow believers is a greater bond of relationship than many times our own blood families, because just because of that nature, the commonality of the Spirit of Jesus among us is greater than everything else. And so it's a privilege to be in this world, to live this life, to be in community with others who are like-minded as we are.
And I remind myself every day to be humble and kind. You know, even if someone chooses not to be humble and kind to me.
Absolutely. And that's part of that, realizing that you're privileged. I mean, when you know it's a privilege to have what I am, it's easier to be kind and humble, isn't it? I mean,
it is. Absolutely. I
mean, so we can beat that pride down with that truth of, wow, I know I really don't deserve this, but look what I have in Jesus. And so,
and nothing else compares.
Nothing. And so I can be kind, I can be humble without what you're saying, without any expectation of anything in return.
And the part about that I love the most is the selflessness and the giving of how when God lives within you, He flows out of you. And in turn, we become humble and kind. You know, and that means a lot. That means everything, to be humble and kind.
Yes, I love the way you're saying that, because many times, I know in my own life, I'm sure others can identify, at times I have attempted, or probably feebly, but I have acted kind and humble. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a difference in acting kind and humble and being that. And so what you're saying is when we come to the reality of who we are and what God has done and his love for us, well, then I can become kind and humble. I don't have to act like it or pretend to be. And I know a large part, or at least some part, of my Christian life, I was acting kind and humble because I knew that's what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't a true fruit in my life at that time. So,
well, it's interesting that you say that, because at Ladies Conference, I had listened to a young lady that had spoke about wearing the mask. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes being kind and humble, yes, like you said, is an act, and it's wearing mm-hmm. that mask.
Yeah.
And when you release and remove that mask, and your mm-hmm. reflection is in the mirror, and that's yeah. who you see,
yes,
then that's when your humility and kindness comes through your heart, mm-hmm. not through your hands, not yes. through your mouth.
Yes. Because that's where truly it is born.
That's right.
And that's what Jesus said, that, you know, it's out of your heart that comes the evil, it's out of your heart that comes the good. And so, as we grow in the Spirit of Christ, then we become more and more like Christ, and He is kind and humble.
Well, Brother Bobby, we have a caller on the phone. Miss Brenda, are you with us?
Hey,
Miss yes, Brenda, how are you?
Hi, Pastor.
Hello, Brenda.
Hi, Danielle.
How are you, darling?
I'm good. I just had not really a question, but as you personally know, my mother is, you know, fighting stage 4 cancer, and my siblings and I are trying our best to keep her out of the hospital and the nursing homes and all that, and doing what we can to help her. My dilemma, or my where I feel like I'm being pulled, is with my own health issues and my own family, and trying to make sure I'm there for her, yet feeling guilty not being home, that I'm guilty when I'm not with her, and I just don't know what God wants me to do.
Well, I think we can all identify with that. I mean, I don't know very many people who probably hasn't experienced a similar situation. And there may not be just an easy cut and dried answer, but, you know, the best we can do is be where we need to be or ought to be when we should be there. And the truth wow. is, we can't be everywhere all the time. It's just not possible. And so we have to accept the reality, being realistic about that. But many times what we attempt to do, we attempt to equate our love for someone in those circumstances and situations. And so I think the first thing we should do is just, you know, let's resolve that issue. It's not about how much I love you or how much I love my loved one. It's about the reality of where I can be and how much I can be there. And so,
right.
so I think, you know, determining that with our own selves, that, well, if I could, I would do it all if I could.
Right.
But I can't. So I'm going to have to be realistic about that. And for me personally, and being a pastor, you know, there's lots of situations where people are in a critical situation that I can't be there. And mm-hmm. I struggle with that issue in my own life because I want to be everywhere all the time. And so I have had to accept that I can be exactly where God wants me to be. I can be there all the time. And that God does not expect me to be somewhere I cannot be. And so I've wow. learned to pray and ask Him to lead me, guide me, and inspire me to be where I need to be when I need to be there. So if it's my mom and I need to be there, then I expect Him to guide and direct me in that way so that I can. And if I can't be, then I'm going to try to be at peace, you know, with where I am, because I can't be there right now.
And that's the hard part, is
yes.
trying to
yes.
to be at peace, knowing that, you know, I still have a rather young family and, you know,
yes,
and my own issues and not being able to be with her all the time.
But we have to accept that. If we cannot do it, then we have to accept that. Because one thing I believe is that if you're not in the right emotional place with yourself, then you're not going to be in the right emotional place when you're with her.
True.
And so, you know, the time you have with her, you want that to be top quality.
Exactly.
So having your own emotions settled where you're at peace with God and with yourself, and then that makes, to me, that makes your time with her much better.
Well, thank you.
Well, Brenda, let me remind you, too, because you're a mom and I'm a mom. When your little girl was little, when my little girl was little, and I had to leave her to go to the grocery store, okay?
Right.
You remember what that feeling was like of, it was kind of an abandonment feeling, right?
Right.
And, right. You know, you're one person, and you can only do what you can do. And the Lord says to rightly divide the truth. So you have to stand for what is right for you, not what is necessarily right for someone else. It took me two and a half years to go to the grocery store without my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something I had to overcome because I felt like I was abandoning her. And so now.
And I was fortunate enough that, you know, I never went and she always stayed home with her dad. So I was fortunate, you know, to know that she was home with her dad and everything was fine. So.
Right. But some of us didn't have that privilege.
Exactly.
And that was the hardest thing for me is to, you know, relinquish that two-year-old child and hold her there so I knew that she was being taken care of while I went to the grocery store without feeling them abandonment issues with myself.
Exactly.
That I was a bad mom because I felt guilty. So, you know, that's kind of how I also think you should think about it with your mom. That's my opinion.
Well, and my own mother, I mean, she used to tell me back when all my kids were younger, even before I had Katie, you know, if you don't, and I'll cherish this because not many mothers tell, but you know, Mother's Day weekend, they don't emphasize this enough. You know, if you don't take some time for yourself, you know, you can't be a good mother.
True.
Yes.
And I still never have caught that. I still never have caught on to that and realize that I push and push until I can't go anymore, and then I'm just, you know, depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I still cannot get to that. It's okay if I take time for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, another thing we probably all struggle with on some level, but hey, would it be okay if I say a prayer?
Absolutely.
Brenda.
Please.
Father God, we thank you for Brenda. We thank you for calling in. We thank you for her reminding us of all of our life situations where we struggle and have difficulties, and it's the decisions that we have to make sometimes are so hard upon our own selves as well as others. And so we pray for her mom, first of all, that there would be strength in her body and that you would work in a way that's beneficial to her and that you'd give her peace in her heart and her soul and her mind, that she would be at peace in every way. And we ask that you'd work in Brenda the wisdom to know when to be there with her and when it's okay not to be. We ask you to settle Brenda's heart and emotions that she can be at peace being where you want her to be, and that you would guide her, direct her, show her where that is and when that is. Even though she may not always be conscious of that, we ask that you would give her that sense of just knowing that you're capable of guiding her and directing her, even if she don't know it, and that she can trust you and depend upon you, and that she can ask, believe, and trust that she will be where she needs to be when she needs to be there. In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I love you, Miss Brenda. Thank you so much for calling in.
Love y'all too.
You have a good evening. Bye.
You too.
Well, this is Little D with the Big D Radio Show. Brother Bobby, thank you so much for being in with us tonight. We're going to go to commercial break, and we will be right back with Miss Dawn Owens.
But still all Coleman. We are Coleman's independent radio station. Live 95. WRJMLP, Coleman.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
I'm Ed Horrell, founder of the Kindness Revolution. Today we want to say thank you to the over 62 million in the U.S. who volunteer their time for various organizations. That's a staggering number, 62 million. But according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, that number is actually on the decline, possibly as much as 4% lower than a few years ago. So our challenge this week is simple. Do two things. First of all, if you know of someone who's volunteering their time for a good cause, tell them thank you. Whether it's a soup kitchen, coaching an athletic team, or singing in the choir, why not take a minute and say thanks? But just as importantly, why not take a look and see what each of us can do to volunteer a little time to help a good cause? Causes doing good and in need of volunteers are everywhere, so they won't be hard to find. To learn more, check us out at thekindnessrevolution.net.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, Cardio Sculpt, or Dance Fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey, guys. Let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
There we go. Welcome back to the Big D Radio Show. This is Little D, Danielle, with Miss Dawn Owens from the Link of Coleman County. How are you?
I'm great, Danielle.
I'm so excited to have you in here. I wanted you in last week, but I couldn't get you, so I got you this week. So tell me what's been going on with you.
Well, it's been busy. We've got a lot going on at the Link of Coleman County, which I'm the executive founder and executive director of that, and so we'll talk a little bit about that. But also have this incredible book coming out.
I know. Y'all look at this book. Look at this book. You see?
Yeah.
So let's start off with what inspired you to become an author.
That is a great question. What inspired me? So writing has been part of my life for a long time. I've always been a reader and a writer. Went off to college and so confused, had no clue who I was. Jumped around in different majors, and my junior year, finally, after trying several others, figured out that I liked writing, and so let me give this a shot as a major. Well, the problem with that is when you enjoy something and then you try and do it academically, your teachers are going to have a whole different view on you than what you have on of yourself. And so I learned very quickly I wasn't quite as good of a writer as I hoped that I was, because they were quite critical of me. And that was hard for me. I took a lot of offense to that. Like, what do you think? My writing's not good enough. And so my senior year, I had a professor. I was actually there for 5 years. I was one of those five-year planners. And had a professor who had said, you know, this is a he looked at my portfolio and said, this is exactly what we thought. You will never be a published author. You will never get paid for your work. And you might as well find another line of work. So for me, this has been more of a redemption story than it has been an inspiration. And really, God has had to kind of pull me up from my darkest of days to get me to a place where I was willing to write for him and not care what other people were thinking about it. So that's a... Saying how did I get inspired is a strange word for me, because really I felt like this was more of an act of obedience than it was an inspiration.
We just talked about that with Brother Bobby. I believe that was the first part of our segment of our show tonight. And it's kind of strange that it lines up that way, because we were teasing during the commercial break. Bobby was teasing me. The show is never anything the same like when Big D's here, when I'm hosting. It's the strangest thing in what direction it goes in. Mm-hmm. So, and before the show, you know, you had prayed for me about taking the authority. And I appreciate that, because you reminded me that I do have authority.
Yeah.
And you took authority over that word, never.
Yeah.
And you utilized it. And now you're living out your purpose, because mm-hmm. you're doing what God wanted you to do and not what Dawn wanted to do.
Right.
So maybe that was some good criticisms that you got from your professors at that time, because maybe you weren't ready and prepared in the place that God wanted you to be.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we also have an enemy in this world who has been watching and scheming. And though he is not omnipotent and doesn't know exactly what God's plans are for our life, he still can see certain patterns, because he's been around for a long time. And so that teacher was not against me, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I think that was more the enemy trying to cut off some things that he saw patterning in my life. So, you know, people have asked me several times, it's in the book too, hey, can we send a book to the professor? And I'm like, no, there's no reason to. It wasn't him that was after me in any way, shape, or form, but there's an enemy that is. He's after all of us. But we have a choice on how we respond to that. So... yeah.
And that's what Brother Bobby said also tonight about how sometimes we should think about something before we actually do it or say it.
Yes.
So so tell me a little bit about your book. Your book is, as I understand, about social media. My friends have read it, and I've told them not to tell me anything about it. So here I am on the other side interviewing you, and I'm going to know all about it. So, and it's okay. I'm
totally
okay. So tell me what your story is about.
Well, this is my journey on overcoming the addiction to approval and learning who I was in Christ, that really when I got saved, I was given a heavenly identity, that I'm not a citizen of here on earth, but in heaven. And so I've learned over the last 7 to 8 years really how to operate out of who God says I am rather than worrying about what everybody else says that I am. And so through that, I've been through a variety of different struggles and I believe God allowed those things to happen so that I could learn and grow and hopefully now teaching other people what it means to make those different choices. Like I was saying before, we have a choice to either live as a victor or live as a victim. We have a choice to believe everything that everybody else says about us or know what the Word of God says about us. Mm-hmm. And learn that. I mean, that has to be a choice for us to learn who we are in Christ. What people have been saying over and over again to me is, holy cow, Dawn, you were really vulnerable in this book. Part of me says, that's just me. That's just who I am. I tend to share my heart and put it on my sleeve. But part of me had some struggles at times really saying to the Lord, like, really, you want me to share this? Like, this is not something that I thought the whole world needed to know, or whoever reads the book for that matter. It's in there. It's in there about, thoughts that I had of jealousy and envy while I was starting the link. And it talked about anger issues that I've had and had to get through and understand how to respond differently when people didn't meet my expectations. I talk about my miscarriages and how I had to learn how to surrender those over to the Lord so that I could realize that I'm not in control and He is. So people get a really good view of Dawn. Whether they like me or not, by the end of the book. So,
but you know what, Dawn? Everything that you've said is so real, because a lot of the things you've said is myself.
Wow.
And I think every woman in the world, and the struggle is real, and it becomes a day-to-day struggle.
Yeah.
And we have to learn to overcome them struggles. And I do believe that the Lord allows things to happen in our life to either teach us lessons or for us to grow from.
Yeah.
So, because sometimes we have to be stopped in our tracks to say, okay, stop, Danielle. Look, listen, pay attention. Yeah. Shut up, please. You know?
Yeah.
And that's me, on my personal self.
Yes.
You know? And so I think a lot of women, and probably a lot of men, are going to relate to it also.
Yeah. I've actually had a couple, either board members or spouses of board members, who have read the book because they got it really early on. And they keep saying, holy cow, Dawn, this is not just for women. This is for men.
Awesome.
Thank you for writing the book. And I'll be doing a men's group on this. So
That's awesome.
Like super encouraging to me.
So where'd you come up with the name? Like Me or Not?
It goes along with Facebook, mm-hmm. right? And so a lot of what I talk about in there is our everyday struggle with social media and how that can play a role in our need for approval, and really only can make it worse. It exacerbates the issue so much. And in today's society, there's a lot of expectations on us to be on social media. I mean, our teenagers are on social media, which mm-hmm. I still take the stance of why. There's nothing fruitful for a teenager to be on social media. Yeah, you could say, well, they could connect with friends, but really, is that helpful? Can't they do that in person at their schools? I mean, they see them every day. Mm-hmm. So, it's a different place. We're in a different culture. And so when we were playing around with the book title and having that social media spin to it, it just kind of rolled right off the tongue, Like Me or Not.
Mm-hmm.
And really what I want to communicate with that, because at times people have been like, oh, so is that kind of like a, well, I don't care if you like me or not. No, it's not that at all. It's, I'm okay if you don't like me or not, mm-hmm. because I have this quiet confidence of I know who I am and I know whose I am. And so you can be you and I can be me, and we can still love each other in the midst of that.
I do that every day. Do you know that? I have a lot of people that I get private messages and they'll say, you know, well, you just think you're all that. No, I don't. No, I don't. I'm real. And I'm showing you I'm real. I don't, you like me or not?
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. And I have that attitude too, also. But I want to go back to what Brother Bobby said earlier with social media. you know, you can go through 20 posts and get 20 different emotions. And, you know, now we have where we can like them. We can do a anger face. We can do a thumbs up. You can love them, you know. You can laugh at them, you know, them types of things. So it does apply a lot to social media because every single post, just use 10 posts you're going through, you're going to have 10 different emotions through them 10 posts.
Yeah.
So, and it does affect people's self-esteem. It does affect their day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And people do put a lot of emphasis, even myself, and I will sit here and admit that to you and the whole world.
Oh, yeah.
Even myself with someone that I care about that may not like my post that day, and I'm like, okay, well, you like somebody else's post, but you don't like mine. And, you know, and I do, and I have struggled with that. But I like to think, I know my aunt, who is my mentor, she's from Fayette, and she took a platform of, I will only use Facebook and social media to preach the gospel. I will only use this to testify. Mm-hmm. I will only use this for the word of God. And she's been doing this for about 6 months. And I have another young lady, Sherry Verhoff. She does that every single day.
Yeah.
It's not about putting her family out there or her friends out there or patting this on the back or patting that on the back. Mm-hmm. It's all about the word of God. So it's like when computers first came out, you know, we have that where we can use it for good or bad.
Right.
So, but I love the title of your book, Like Me or Not. And I'm definitely going to enjoy reading your book. But how long did it take you to write this book?
It ended up taking me about 6 months. I was on a pretty tight schedule. It actually would have taken me less time. However, during that time period, we opened up our new building. And so I started in January of 2017, and we opened our building March. And I was like, I'm going to go insane. There's no way I can write a book and open this building at the same time. I had to take a break. And I took about a six-week hiatus from the book. So it wouldn't have taken me quite that long to write it. But I had put myself on a deadline because I had an agent that was interested. And when you have someone interested, you don't want them to wait too long before they get the manuscript. And even after you're done the manuscript, there's so much editing that goes into it. And then I hired a professional editor to review the book. And then you got to get it back and do the edit. So it's quite a process to go through. But God was in that the whole time, and my timing was perfect in that. His timing was perfect, really. In that I finished it after I went to a Christian writers conference. I had pitched it to a lot of other agents and publishers, got some really great feedback, and well, they all liked it, so that was always good. I always say that that experience is kind of like a alcoholic walking into a bar. Hey, do you like my idea? I'm admitting I'm an approval addict, but hey, go for it. And so you know, it was just a little after the it was kind of midsummer when I got signed with my agent. And then literally a week later, a publishing company that was at my conference reached out to my agent and said, I don't want you to send this anywhere. I saw she signed with you. I want that book, which was such a God thing. I mean, it just doesn't happen like that. And then even when they said, you know, Dawn, we love this book, we want it out as soon as possible. Usually books take 2 years after you sign, but this is like 9 months. So it's been pretty fast.
So it is on the shelf now, right?
It will be as of Tuesday, technically, though. I think some people have been noticing my sneak peeks of Books A Million, who put it out a little early. But our official launch day is May 15th.
And can they order it online? And how would they go about ordering it online?
Yes, they can order it online. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and ChristianBooks.com all have it in stock. Their prices are pretty good. I will say that I just checked Amazon again, and it looks like, depending on where I am in the ratings, it's increasing the price. So if you do want to get it online at a decent price, you might want to do it sooner than later. I don't know. Sometimes Amazon will do like a sale at some point on it, but it's still a decent price right now online.
And can you download it to your iPad?
Yes, they do have it in a Kindle version. Good. That will release on May 15th. And they also, Christian Audio is releasing an audio version on it. So you can actually get the audio as well.
Now, you're going to be at Yates Christian Bookstore May the 15th from 11 to 2. And you will be signing books and greeting people. And I know that you're so excited. I love that place, by the way.
Yes, it is surreal. Like, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, even back in college you dream about, and you don't know if it'll ever come true, but it's, I mean, even the first time I saw the book in Books A Million, I kept telling people, I just want to camp out there. Like, this is so crazy. This is my life. And that's my name on that book. You know,
sure.
It's wild. So, we'll be at EH Tans from 11 to 2, and we're actually going to be doing some giveaways. And the first 10 people, are going to receive a known necklace that's made by our girls who are in job training program through our Pure Joy program. They've made those necklaces, and we will typically sell them, but that'll remind people that God knows who they are, so they don't have to worry about what everybody else thinks.
All about that approval.
Yes.
Also, you have a Facebook page, Dawn Marie Owens.
Yes, that's my author page.
That's your author page, mm-hmm. And you will be going live at 9 a.m. and at 4 p.m.
9 a.m. and 4 p.m. And I will be telling a little bit about the why behind the book. I'll probably read a bit from the book during that time period, and just kind of give some updates and, you know, exciting information that's coming up about the book, too. So, mm-hmm. Yep. So, tune in.
So, can you touch on just a little bit? I know we're good. Josh will let us go over just a little bit about your organization.
Yes.
Link to your book. Now, I know, because it's the link, and I know that it's linked. So I want to know how. I want to know how it's linked.
So the link would not exist. The Link of Coleman County, let me say this first. The Link of Coleman County is a faith-based nonprofit. It helps people overcoming poverty. We can be in poverty in a variety of different ways. Material, relational, emotional, mental, financial. There's lots of different ways that we can experience that poverty. And so we do that relationally through encouragement, education, employability training. That would not exist if I didn't walk through the journey of this. That became so real to me at year 5 when I was telling the story of how the link happened and remembering back to when I had to make the choice between believing in the vision that God had given me and what man was telling me. Because the unfortunate thing is sometimes when you are casting vision and speaking dreams, not everybody can see that. And it's not anything against them, but there were naysayers. And so, you know, when you feel something so heavy on your heart and you're so passionate about it and you believe that this is what God wants you to do, we all have to make a choice. Am I going to believe man or am I going to believe God? And so for me, it wasn't about me anymore. I started hearing the stories of those who were poor in our community. I realized their challenges. I understood from my own story, from family members' stories, from their stories, that there was another way. And so it was either support them, love them, encourage them, or worry too much about what other people thought of me. And I gave that up, and I started walking out the vision. And so it's my hope that I can also inspire other people to go after their God-given purpose and do the very thing that is on their heart to do, to give up whatever it is that someone else is telling them that they can't do and go after the thing that God says they can do. So it completely links from that perspective. And then I really believe that a root cause of addiction, a root cause at times of poverty, not always, because sometimes you're born into it and that's not a choice at all, but is we don't understand who we are. And so even if we get sober and understand our sobriety, we can even come to know the Lord. But if we don't understand who we are, we end up going back to the same patterns again, going back to the same people again. And I see it over and over and over again. And so one of my hopes and my dreams is that we can get these books into every jail and prison across the United States.
Yes, ma'am.
So you can agree with Matt and me in praying that. And it tells some of the stories of our girls, but from a different perspective. I share their story because it inspires somebody else to make better choices or to choose joy over their circumstances. So really those stories are breathing life into other people who are addicted to approval. And so that's kind of how they link together.
My pastor reminded me a couple of years ago about my situation not being my destination. And that is one of the things, that's one of the hashtags I use on my post on Facebook day, because where I'm at is not where I'm going. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily where God wants me to be.
That's right.
You know, but I am very excited about reading your book. Thanks. I appreciate you so much coming in here tonight. Again, Dawn will be signing books. Her release date is May the 15th. She'll be at Yates Christian Bookstore from 11 to 2. You come on out and buy yourself a copy and meet Miss Sweet Owens here. She's just a doll. And we at the Big D Radio Show, we love you, and we love what you do at the Link of Goldman County. You're an amazing you're an inspiration to all of us women. I mean, you really are. And I'm not just saying that because you're sitting across from me, because I've admired you for a long time.
Oh,
and
thank you.
I really appreciate everything that you're opening up, because I believe you're opening a door that needs to be open of the acceptance thing,
mm-hmm.
For sure, because everybody wants someone's approval.
Oh, yeah.
And we only need one person's approval.
Yeah. And we already have it.
That's right. So, will you lead prayer?
Oh, I'd love to.
Great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, Father God, I just want to first just honor you and glorify you. You are God and King, sovereign, seated on your throne, high and exalted. And I thank you for both Danielle and Daryl and Josh for, just ministering to others on the radio to make this accessible for people to come online and share who you are with the world. And God, I just pray that you'll continue to grant this radio station favor and give them the ability to reach more. God, I pray that you would expand their boundaries. God, I pray that every single person who's listening on the radio right now would understand that they have been given an identity in you. They are created in your image, and that when they receive your Son as Savior and Lord, that they are given a Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit has a heavenly identity that is there for us to operate out of, but we have to make the choice to do that. We have to understand who He is and who we are in you. And so, God, I do pray that, and I thank you for every single person that's listening in right now. And I pray, God, that they would know your love, your acceptance, and that you approve of them in who you created them to be. So thank you for that, Lord. We love you, and we praise you, and we just ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Again, this is Little D. We'll be back on Tuesday night with Understanding the Law with local attorney Melvin Hastings. And Big D will be back. I just want to sign off and say God bless you and God bless America. And have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye. That was awesome.